Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of RealCom Live. Great to be here. Every week, I try to assign a word or a phrase to what we're going to be talking about, and today's word will be timely. And what I mean by that is we're about 2 months out from the conference, and today we're going to be having our co-chairs for RealCom on the call to discuss the upcoming conference and the big topics in the industry. And we've been doing this process or this protocol for over 20 years. So what we do is we choose a good number of advisors on both the RealCom and the IBCon side. And these are true, genuine thought leaders, RealCom on the enterprise business computing side and IBCon on the smart building side. And then what we do is we found that managing 50, 75, in some cases 100 advisors can get a little unwieldy. So we ultimately decided that it made sense to bring in co-chairs. And I originally think we started out with one person, but that was just too much. We were asking too much of that one person. And we kind of decided on three. And the reason we wanted three was it kind of balances the load a little bit, but it also allows us to go to different sectors or segments of the real estate industry, whether it be retail, industrial, office, mixed use, multifamily, different size firms, just to make sure we've got everybody's voices heard. And so after we complete an extensive survey process, Howard, Sarah, and team, they grind the data. And then what we do is we filter all the topics up, and hopefully the big ones bubble to the top. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be seeing, what topics are leading the pack, which topics are going to make their way to the general session stage, not necessarily, by what speaker, what company, but really what are the issues driving our industry. So with that, let me bring in our great group for today. Here are our RealCom 2024 co-chairs, Helene Stein, SVP and CIO of Brixmor. Sundar Papu, SVP, Head of Technology Strategy for Inland Real Estate Group. And finally, Sohil Purohashami, EVP, Business Technology, Brookfield Properties. Folks, so great to have you. And, I know how busy all of you are. I can't thank you enough for taking the time to do this. Hopefully after today, we're going to peek into your brains a little bit and get an idea of what's up and what are the big topics going to be in June. So before we get started, Helene, maybe we start with you. A little bit of your background, a little bit about Brixmor, and a little bit about what you do every single day when you wake up and go to work.
Well, thanks, Jim. Actually, I started in healthcare technology and ended up in real estate as the head of IT for a REIT through an ad in Monster. Back in the day, which is the precursor, some of you will know, to LinkedIn type experience. I've been now in real estate technology for over 20 years. I'm the CIO, also CTO and CISO of Brixmor Property Group. And we are a owner manager of predominantly open air shopping centers. We have about 362 centers, about 62 million square feet of retail space. And the team, it keeps very busy with our journey to provide for the company, the IT, support the IT initiatives for the company, the business initiatives for the company, and our core goals.
Safe to say your to-do list is never complete.
Yes. And also keeping us safe.
Yes.
In a cyber unsecure world.
Yes. Yeah. I know your work within REC is greatly appreciated. Sundar, how about you?
Sure. Thanks, Jim. I started my career in consulting. I worked in financial services consulting for Deloitte for about 9+ years. Then moved to actually working for JP Morgan Chase. That was about 5+ years. And then into the real estate world, working at Inland for the last 13 years now. So with Inland, as you know, Inland is like one of the largest, nation's largest commercial real estate and financial groups. As a business incubator, we specialize in creating, developing, and supporting our member companies. And that provide commercial real estate related services and also alternative investment funds, which include limited partnerships, institutional funds, and also non-listed and listed REITs. And also, we also provide real estate services for both inland and workflow for the third parties that are there.
You said JP Morgan, right? You came from JP. Yeah, I mean, coming from a very high-end institutional financial company, did you experience some culture shock? I mean, how has that transition been for you?
It was a culture shock, but at the same time, it also provided an opportunity where you can actually help the company move to, you know, the next phase of the transition that Inland was going through at the time.
Sohail, big company.
So thanks. It's a pleasure to be here. I started my career in the banking industry, and I've been in real estate for just under 15 years. Brookfield Properties, we're the operating arm of Brookfield in our real estate business. Pretty much active in all the asset classes. In North America alone, we have just under 260 million square feet under management across office, retail, logistics, multifamily, and hotels. My function right now currently is I head up our Brookfield Properties corporate IT, which essentially is across all our sectors, and I work closely with each sector CIO. And the strategy that we're driving is we look at our common enterprise platforms within the sectors, data and analytics within those sectors, and then cybersecurity across the organization. So that's my mandate today.
How many CIOs do you work with in these companies?
Today, within North America, there's about 5 CIOs that I'm working with. Wow. And then around the globe, some of those organizations are a bit smaller, so I wouldn't call them true CIOs, but we have technology leaders.
Right. And, you know, throughout the years, we've, tried to attract small, medium, and large companies to the RealCom, IBCon, and CoreTech communities because the smaller midsize can learn from the giants like you. Because it's one thing to innovate in a small company, you know, tiny company, and another thing to try to innovate at scale. Right. I mean, there's just differences with that. So it's really we appreciate you, you know, taking the time being a co-chair and participating because you can offer that perspective of and you're global as well. Right. So
that's right.
So you've got a whole bunch of other issues that apply when you look at it from an international standpoint. So as you all know, we've been on the phone a few times since the beginning of the year. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we cry, and we're really trying to get to the bottom of the big issues. You know, as you know, if you've been to one of our events, we take everybody's time very serious. When we present something on the general session stage, it's vetted very tightly. We've made mistakes, obviously, but I think overall, you know, we try real hard to put those topics and issues on that stage that are relevant to everybody and are big. So, you know, I've been asking you over the last few months, you know, what are the big topics? And let me phrase it to you this way. And we'll start again. We'll start with Helene. What keeps you up at night? I mean, there's a million ways you can ask the question. You know, what's the top topic? What is your board asking? Let's approach it a little differently. What keeps you up?
There are two main areas that keep me up at night. One is keeping the enterprise secure, cybersecurity. And I'm going to give a little story here. There's been so many third-party breaches recently that anytime there's a third party breach of one of our vendors, I do send out an email to our incident response team, which includes our CEO. And before the holidays, there was an increase in the number of these third party breaches. And at our holiday party, our CEO turned to me and he said, "Am I on a new distribution list? I'm getting these emails like every day." And, so it is an area that I think is keeping a lot of CEOs and CIOs up at night because of the SEC ramifications of a material breach. The other area that keeps me up at night is, you know, continuing in today's environment, continuing our journey with a little bit of a AI is in the headlights, in the spotlight, and to continue to grow and expand and figure out how to use it in the right manner that really helps the business, not just following a shiny object.
Well, on the cyber conversation, our journey started about 10 years ago at RealCom, and we got the first little hint that it was going to be an issue. And cyber is one of those topics. It's complicated. It's comprehensive. It is not for the faint of heart. It's not going away. And so I really feel good being part of that journey for 10 years, because I think, it evolved into REC, and we're building on a lot of experience, and now people have a place to go to learn from a lot of folks like you, so they don't have to start from scratch. And I think in the topic of cyber, it's critical. And on the AI, we'll get into that a little bit later, but we're all in on AI, and I'll explain later on what we're planning. Sunder, how about you? I mean, 3 o'clock in the morning, cold sweats, what is it?
I don't get the cold sweats, by the way. I sleep like a baby there. So having said that, I think two key things that I look at, like one is the macroeconomic factors that are actually out there in the marketplace. And that actually affects the industry as a whole. And, you're seeing that within our industry, basically our budgets are getting cut, but doesn't stop us from keeping the environment secure and other things. And with regards to what Helene was saying on AI, it's great that it actually helps in one piece, but the other side, you're seeing a lot of risks that are also coming through from a security perspective. How would you actually stay in front of that, right? So as it is, as leaders, we are trying to actually ensure that we are creating a boundary. But on top of it, this new actor, like a new tool set that can mimic a person or do other things, how do you actually get over that? So those are two big things across that, should keep everyone awake in the night.
Yeah, well, and I think one of our calls that we've had recently, I think Sohail, you were the one who brought up that, make sure everybody knows that AI is not a flash in the pan. It's not a fad. It is here to stay. It is fundamental as the internet was, mobility, mainframe, mini computers, distributed PCs. I mean, there were some big movements, and this AI thing, is real. It's big, and it's not going away. So, Sohail, how about you? I mean, you got your phone, lots of people calling your phone and sending emails to you.
So, and this was not rehearsed, but it's really two things. And it's basically what Helene and Sandra said. First one is the capital markets. The capital markets are changing. Every business plan that was put into place has had to shift because of the capital markets, and not necessarily about just budget cuts, but the impact of the capital market to each sector means we need to change our strategies and support those strategies. So when our business needs something, technology needs to be able to keep up with it. And a lot of times it becomes a bit reactive because it's just been shifting so quickly. And the second piece on AI is really the AI era. So I look at it as we're going into this AI era, we're moving from the internet era to the AI era. And it's really about this disruption is here and it's coming, and making sure that we're relevant, that we're managing it properly, and that, it's not just impacting real estate industries, it's just impacting the world. Right. And just making sure that we're relevant with it, and we keep up with the pace that it's going to go.
Well, if you think about it, a lot of the buildings that you all, especially Sunder and Sohail on the office side, I mean, the foundational reason for those buildings was that's where my file cabinet was, that's where the conference room is, and that's where all the technology, the $100,000 photocopier, right? And to your point, we're way beyond that, and now we're entering this AI era that's going to further. Now we've got all the information up to the cloud and digitized. Now we're going to apply AI to it. It's a whole new chapter, a brand new chapter. And then to kind of combine Sunder or something you said and Sohail, we're acknowledging the fact that the markets are challenged right now. Mm-hmm. I think, Helene, I think mm-hmm. on a number of calls, you keep referencing interest rates. Mm-hmm. They're not budging. I mean, mm-hmm. they're at all-time highs, I think, if I remember correctly from an article I just read. And so we can't stop innovating. And I ironically, this AI thing is coming at a time when our markets are challenged and maybe we don't have the budgets. So Sunder, how do we keep innovating with constrained budgets?
Yeah, so good question there, Jim. I think one of the things that, at least that we have done in the past is we have taken a look at like some of the business problems, and we try to actually pilot them in small things in the interim, and basically show a business case for that. You know, 90% of the time they'll fail, but the 10% actually will cover for the 90% of the failures that you basically have. This is the only way you innovate and basically provide value back that you can then take forward. You know, whether it is a new technology that's coming in or something internal to us. And there are times when you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, is this the right thing? You know, whether it's in, you know, what we are doing. And sometimes we may have to actually get a third party, you know, company to come and take a look at and basically see, you know, we may be looking in one way, some other company can actually come in and basically say, you know, the things that you guys are doing is right or wrong, like provide some, you know, a strategy or a roadmap kind of thing.
And then, Sohail, in the case of Brookfield Properties, I mean, big ship. I mean, smaller ships can stop, you know, the brakes, put the brakes on a bit faster. I mean, do you think you're pretty well down the road as far as changing the direction of the company, given these new market dynamics and these new technologies? I mean, is everybody now heading in the right direction, or are you still, you know, having to navigate a little bit?
Well, interestingly enough, if, on the topic of AI, and we're talking about budgets and stuff, I am continuously responding to investor relation questions around what are we doing with Gen AI? What are we doing with all these technologies? So as much as these constraints exist, there's also an interest from the outside on what we're doing to innovate. So we do get support there. Right. The other thing I find is that the some of the best innovation happens when there are hard times. So when the budgets are constrained, that is when people then say, how do I leverage this technology to be more efficient? How do I, you know, make the job easier? So now maybe I don't need my people to shift their focus into something else. So there's a different shift in how we kind of look at this stuff.
And everybody watching may think, you know, that we did rehearse this and it's curated, but what I'm about to say it is not rehearsed. Yeah. But I was about to say the exact same thing you said, with a little different spin. I mean, this is probably my fourth cycle in my career. The early 90s real estate, dot-com, financial crisis, and now this one. And I will tell you, in those three other timeframes, the absolute most innovation happened after the collapse or after the adjustment, after the hype phase. And what I've seen now from a career perspective is because now we have to innovate. During the times of hype, you know, it's nice to innovate. We can play around. There's nobody putting any pressure on us. Right now, we're all feeling some pressure. And if we don't innovate, we're not going to make it through the cycle. Yeah, I'm actually excited for innovation in the next 3 to 5 years because I think we're going to see some crazy things at the conference, big ideas that not many people have seen. And if some of those ideas are just embraced a little bit, it makes for some really good advancements. So, all right, let's take a brief break, hear from one of our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to get a little bit more detail on what to expect at the conference and the kind of questions we're going to be hoping to answer. All right, let's bring back our great guests and keep this conversation going. And you can see by our sponsors, small, medium, and large, everybody's coming to the table trying to figure out what this accelerated post-pandemic digital transformation means for buildings. So one of the things that, you know, we've been talking to you folks about for the last few months has been, you know, prioritization of the hot topics. I've already heard AI a lot. I've already heard cyber a lot, even in this conversation. But we have to prioritize what sessions, you know, or what conversations hit the general session, you know, the most broad general conversation we have at the conference. Helaine, how do you prioritize, you know, within the company? I mean, there's 100 pieces of technology, software, you know, cloud services, all sorts of things you could buy. What is the process by which you prioritize as a firm? And then when I hear all of you, your answers, then we'll kind of put that into how we prioritize the topics for the conference.
Look, all projects, whether they're for the back office, the built environment, come down to a business value. I mean, you have to take a look. Does it help the tenant experience. Prior to the call, we were talking about in office space how amenities are so important for attracting tenants. So is it part of a tenant experience? Is it a security compliance regulatory requirement that you fund this project? Does it relate to an operational efficiency? So all projects need to be balanced against metrics and how they add value to the goals of the organization, whether they're a technology project or a redevelopment project. And again, we talked a lot about capital markets and high interest rates, and traditionally, in real estate, we've been laggards in technology, and I think that's changed. And traditionally, it was because folks wanted to invest capital in buildings. That's our core competency. But today, they see the value of IT and investing in the projects that help accelerate or transform the portfolios.
If you're in your list of prioritized projects, if you were to designate them saving money on the operation side or making money, higher rents, you know, better occupancy, is there what's the percentage balance of saving money versus creating experiences or places that people are willing to spend more money for?
Well, for us, it's more about improving the processes, because the faster we can get a tenant through the deal flow process, the construction process, and moved in, there's hard dollars. Every day that we can get a tenant moved in sooner, we make more money. So right, there is a hard dollar figure for many of the projects. Some of the projects are, again, a cost of doing business. You have to have a secure environment for yourself and your tenant. So it's a balancing act. Also having the data, the intelligence to make the right decisions. So your analytics and your AI projects, they may be hard to quantify exactly the dollar that you're gaining or saving.
Perfectly said. Sandra, how about you? You know, what's a quick snapshot on how you prioritize your innovation technology projects?
So, whatever Helene said is right on the money, from what she was talking about from prioritization side of things. Now, from an innovation perspective, sometimes it's the business actually may not know what technology to use and other things. They may have a problem that they may actually bring forth to the table. So individually, we look at, like in the past at least, that's what we have done, is we have taken an idea and we actually work offline. When I say offline, outside the hours of like what we are supposed to do, like, you know, from 8 to 5, you know, my team actually takes some of those things, does that, and then brings forth that particular table and shows it to the business. So that way, at least you can show a value to a business problem. And if they see value in that, then we can continue forward.
So, you're keeping the lights on during business hours, you're innovating after hours?
Yeah, pretty much. And it's like, and the way we do it is like, we don't spend too much time on it either. So, you know, most of the innovation that we have done, like, you know, most of these small things that we have done are things that, you know, take anywhere from about a week to 2 weeks. If you see something that the team, you know, like the business likes, then, you know, then we actually can operationalize that. If not, we basically say, no, you know, something that we can put.
Well, we've been asking this question for, gosh, as long as I can remember. What percentage is maintenance of all the money, budget, personnel, resources that you've got on your team? What percentage is maintenance versus innovation? I think we're going to maybe try to figure out some kind of poll, a capability inside our general session, because I think that's indicative, because that's changed over the last 24 months. Three, 4 years ago was all innovation and at any expense, and things have simmered down a little bit, but I think it would be good to get a handle on what percentage of our industry is just maintaining with some improvements versus true innovation.
Yeah, it'll be maintenance will be the high thing. Just to keep the lights on will actually take most of the work, right? So, and that's where the innovation actually is done offline, like unless it's a big company that has big dollars that they can spend in, right? So that's...
So Hill, has that changed for you too? I mean, is your innovation posture changed in the last 24 months?
Relatively the same, a little bit. You know, when you were asking the question on the percentage, I was just thinking the number that just kind of popped in my head was probably 30% innovation, 70%. You know,
yeah, 75-25. Maintaining. Kind of,
That was the number that just kind of came to me. I just wanted to share. But I wouldn't say it's significantly changed. Again, you know, going into this new era of AI has put a lot more focus on what are you doing with it. And, you know, one of the things I always say when you say prioritize is just, I think our job is to be able to filter out solutions that are looking for problems and just focus on what actually problems are and then fitting these solutions around it. So I think that's critical.
That's critical. Yeah. I mean, get rid of all the hype, all the noise, go into a quiet room and just say, what problems are we trying to solve? The business first, and then back end in the technology, as opposed to just looking for a shiny new object. Yeah. All right. Well, unfortunately, we're running out of time. So I got one final question for you. We'll go with Soheil first and then Sundar, and then we'll wrap with Elaine. So RealCom's been going on for a while. We got, you know, a lot of topics every year. They change, more topics than we have room for. You know, we'll have small, medium, and large vendors, suppliers, service providers there. What's the one thing, Soheil, that you would tell a peer about the conference? You know, plan, bring a team, do your homework prior to what would you say to your peer as far as, you know, give them a little insight on how to get ready for the conference?
I hate to say it, but I'm going to say it. It's going to be a lot of theme is going to be around artificial intelligence. And I think what I want to tell people is the conference is going to be very much focused on practical use cases as opposed to the hype. And I think there's going to be a lot of great learning opportunities. So come with an open mind, and there's a lot you're going to be able to take back to your organization and also share with your peers when you're there.
Yeah, we went in on AI 2018, I think, is when we first announced it on our stage. We, like the rest of the world, kind of fell asleep till ChatGPT, but we went all in on AI. We had, you know, a buildings AI symposium or buildings AI in Silicon Valley last fall. And you hit it right on that. We are trying to get rid of the hype, the generalizations, all the stuff. And we are digging daily on you know, those practical use cases. And we're finding some pretty good, crazy stuff. So hopefully we deliver on getting rid of the hype and focusing on the real stuff. Sundar, how about you?
So one of the things I'll basically, and I'll, you know, whatever Soheil said, but like at the same time, bring your use cases too, right? So the things that the business basically, some of these use cases that you are finding it very hard to actually accomplish, bring it forth. And, you know, you have a big set of people, you know, that are there who we can actually be able to interact and basically learn, you know, from the lessons that, you know, what they have gone through.
I saw a demo from one of the top three architectural design firms in the world yesterday, five different specific use cases in the architectural and design.
Yep.
It freaked me out. I just sat there and I said, can you do that again? And it almost seems like impossible what he's doing in front of my very eyes. And I think, and you're absolutely right, though, bring the use cases. We're not going to find them all. I mean, yeah. Don't have any trouble, you know, raising a hand, jumping up on stage and taking the mic. I mean, we're here to get to the bottom of things. And those people in the audience are equally as important as those people on the stages, because this thing's moving too fast and nobody can know it all. So. Yep. Helene, what do you think?
I'm going to reiterate the same thing that both Sundar and Soheil said and add one is, you know, focus on developing a list of areas that you want to learn about. And because RealCom is the place you're going to find the answers, you have all the resources there to find the answers and be an active participant. Also, continue to build out your network of peers. This is a great place to network. I've developed a set of peer group where anytime I have a question about a vendor or a policy or procedure I'm thinking about, I can reach out and get answers to. So it's something you can leverage throughout the year. And it's also why I'm sitting at Brixmore today is through folks I met at RealCom years ago, my predecessor at Brixmore and another peer recommended me for the position. So it's really a strong group of individuals that are really advocates for all of us. So network, it's a great way to always be able to reach out to someone when you have a question throughout the year.
I think that's the one thing I'm most proud of after 25, 26 years is real estate's a competitive industry. But when people get into this conference, that all disappears. And it started with the idea that, you know, I was a real estate CIO, and I think I shared it with you. My days were easy: database, email, and, you know, maybe some financial apps. What you are all up against right now is almost, you know, impossible. And so, you know, the idea was bring people in, acknowledge that not one person can do this, collaborate the heck, mitigate the risk, and make everybody's lives a little easier through this collaboration. And it wouldn't happen without great people like you who are willing to share your successes as well as your mistakes, which is equally as important, you know. So, well, I went over. I'm going to get yelled at, but I don't care because it's just such a pleasure chatting with all of you. I can't thank you enough again for today and for being co-chairs for RealCom. And we still have a little bit of work to do over the next 60 days, but I think by the time we get to Tampa, it's going to all come together pretty well. So thank you again.
Thank you, Jim.
Have a great day. Great weekend.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right. And with that, Mr. Berger is not with us today. So we're going to bring in his sidekick on the news. Pretty soon, Lisa's going to be the news, right? You're going to kick Howard out because you did such a good job.
Well, those are big shoes to fill. I don't know.
That was a great conversation.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
If people don't get from that conversation the commitment of the senior leaders in this industry to share, to help, to collaborate. Like I said, we just, you know, rent the hall and put on the event. It's really these people that are the magic. And I just, it's a pleasure.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. Big brains, all of them.
Big brains. Yes. Big responsibilities. Yeah. All right. Let me get out of here. You do the news and I'll see you in a few.
All right. See you then. Thanks, Jim. We have a busy week in the news, so let's get right into it. Our lead article this week was published by FacilitiesNet about GSA and Kevin Powell, director of GSA's Emerging Building Technologies. Generally, you wouldn't expect a government agency to be leading the way in technology and innovation. Usually, they're the ones well behind the pack, but this is an interesting story about Kevin's journey from cultural anthropology to facilities management. So Powell has spent 20 years innovating within GSA. And one of the reasons that this is such a significant story, aside from the accomplishment itself, is because the GSA portfolio is massive. Apparently, it is approximately 363 million square feet, covering 8,400 buildings nationwide. So it's a really big portfolio to manage. Powell anticipates a future where smart buildings dominate, but he emphasizes that cybersecurity for buildings cannot be understated, and it's the one thing that keeps him up at night. Despite the challenges, he remains optimistic and sees his work as instrumental in shaping energy-efficient building standards across the industry. So this is a great read and truly emphasizes where passion and commitment come into play for great success stories. The next article topping our list comes to us from our industry partner, Yardi, focusing on best practices for managing lease renewals. So there's no question that we're in a turbulent environment where lease transactions and especially renewals are a big topic for commercial real estate owners. Renewals can be complex, requiring, you know, careful consideration of the process and, more importantly, the opportunities that renegotiation might present. This article covers a comprehensive list of capabilities landlords should look for to define business requirements, like streamlining workflows, centralizing documents, data and communication, facilitating cooperation among stakeholders, all critical elements to ensure smart leasing decisions are being made. So make sure you take the time to read this article. It's very timely and especially relevant as we get further into the year. Big tech offices are getting smaller, and that spells trouble for landlords. According to this article, big tech companies like Google, Amazon, and Meta have been shrinking their office spaces in the last few months, causing concern for landlords. The Wall Street Journal reports that when Google parent company Alphabet presented its latest annual report back in January, it was noted to have paid $1.8 billion in exit charges on leases last year as part of an effort to optimize its global office footprint. It's not all doom and gloom for the office sector, though. SL Green Realty's CEO Mark Holliday sees potential in the AI sector to revitalize the tech real estate market. AI companies have expanded their footprint in San Francisco, and he expects them to make a significant contribution in awakening the slumbering tech market. Finally, if you're interested in the current status of the prop tech market, check out Headwinds Are Bearing Down on Prop Tech. According to Globe Street, PropTech will experience some significant challenges in 2024. Some of those challenges, as you know, include debt maturities, high interest rates, construction costs, rising taxes and utilities. At a high level, the article suggests that while occasional M&A activity is expected, a substantial resurgence is very uncertain. The industry emphasizes financial and physical sustainability, with traditional real estate players investing in digitalization and consolidation. So that's a very good article to read. There are just a few announcements in the news also worth mentioning. Code Labs completes a $30 million Series B round to advance smart buildings. Cisco aims to completely reimagine data center infrastructure security with the announcement of their new Hypershield technology. An executive in that company said the new technology is the most consequential innovation in Cisco's 40-year history. And finally, RealPage announces the next evolution of multifamily innovation with their new Lumina AI platform. And that's it. The weekly briefing newsletter goes out every Thursday. So this week's issue should be sitting in your inbox. And if it's not, just go to realcom.com and click on the news link.
So a million articles down to 10, down to 3. You did a phenomenal job. That's digesting, you know, literally we scan all, we got all sorts of systems that look for articles and everything.
Right.
You know, and then we add a little bit of human touch to it as well. There's a lot of noise out there and hopefully we synthesize it. But you did a great job. Couple comments on the GSA article. It just made me kind of smile. I remember the day when Larry Melton walked in. God, it's got to be 15 plus years ago. He said, what's a facility guy doing here at this real estate tech conference? Howard walked him around, made introductions, and GSA's journey began. I mean, we have our DNA in that journey, and it's great to see that it's continuing and they're not just continuing,
but leading the way. I mean, again, a government agency leading the way, leading the pack. I mean, that's pretty phenomenal.
I heard a rumor that there may be some significant announcements at the conference, but I can't say anything.
Yep.
The last article, you know, the PropTech, state of PropTech. And yeah, I have not been afraid to say that I have not been happy with the amount of money thrown at PropTech in the last, you know, since 2009.
Right.
You know, for the amount of money that we put into the sector, billions, we don't really have a lot of results. Okay. And so that happens. That's happened to me a few times in my career when there's just an exorbitant amount of capital thrown at problems that doesn't always solve the problems. And I think that it's healthy, number one, to you know, kind of bring it back a little bit. And it's funny because I heard people who were on the super hype phase, you know, just grow at any cost. You know, in a recent podcast, I said, well, you better hold on to your cash and you got about 12 to 18 months to show a path to profitability. And I just had a smile and going, boy, has that story changed?
Yeah. Well, you know, Sahil said it best. He said, instead of looking for solutions for the problems or solutions to solve problems, find the problem and then try to fix the problem.
Yeah. So many people running around just touting technology and not really even understanding where it played or how it integrated in the enterprise or how it should deal with cyber. It was sloppy. I mean, it's been 10 to 15 years of sloppiness. Yeah. And I think that's coming to an end. A lot of great ideas, by the way, you know, but for the dollar amount invested, I don't think enough. So I think this tightening of the belt, the next 12 to 24 months, as people have to innovate the real products, solutions with the real management team, with their, you know, eyes on the prize and you know, watching expenses and you know, not growing for the sake of growing, but learning how to make money at their business. I think it's all healthy and it should end up with some good results. So,
yeah, agreed.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Great job as always.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Bye-bye. All right. And before I talk about next week, let's just hear from our final sponsor and I'll be right back. All right. Before I get to next week, just again, a huge thank you to our three co-chairs for RealCom. They've been, you know, part of our community for a long time. And when we asked them to step up, the answers were fast and furious. There was no hesitation. And that just goes to show you, not only are they worried about their own careers and their own companies, they also have a place in their heart for our industry and they consider it a community. And then also thank you to our sponsors. And finally, the RealCom live team that puts this on every week. It looks easy, and that's because they work hard. So next week, going to be one of my favorite topics, and a little spoiler, we're going to be showing some stuff at the conference that I don't think too many people on the planet Earth have seen. It almost reminds me of when we had Google Earth Keyhole on the stage in 2001. I think I was maybe the 50th, 100th person to see that product, knew it was going to change the world. And I kind of feel this way about this topic, low voltage. And actually, I've been told in the last few weeks, we're going to change that to DC, which includes, a little bit of higher voltage, a little bit lower voltage, a little PoE. And it's going to play a major part in our infrastructure going forward, especially if we got these ambitious carbon goals and net zero building goals. You're not going to do it without low voltage someplace in your strategy. And next week, we're going to have a great person on, Trent Moreno, who's SVP of Power Design. They're in Tampa. We're going to be doing a tour at their facility. You better sign up to that one because we don't have a lot of seats and it's going to go quickly. They've got an incredible corporate headquarters. They've got labs all over the place. They got a low voltage infrastructure that they focus on. They got a smart buildings group. And P.S., they're a billion-dollar company, and they do this stuff at scale, right? So I'm excited to talk to Trent next week, and we're going to talk a little bit about the tour, a little bit about the topic, and maybe we'll tease a little bit more of what we can expect to see when we get together in June in Tampa. So with that, I wish everybody a great weekend, and I will see you next week on RealComm Live.